Coming up next, AfterBuzz TV's After Show for Call the Midwife, Series 6, Episode 4.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Welcome. This is John sitting in the booth with Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello.
It's not ready.
Yes, I jumped in on that. Well, I wasn't ready for this either, but because what we learned more than anything was Phyllis is not too keen on having Americans.
American. No American and no man.
Yeah, if she met us, she might think differently.
Maybe.
No,
but, you
actually,
know, no, don't think that.
I was right.
Yeah. I hope they go in more into that. I want to know more. Tell us more.
What's
why?
Your experience,
yeah, exactly.
Phyllis?
Yeah,
What's wrong with us Americans?
Is there a backstory? Is it just in general?
Made me laugh out loud.
I know, me too.
It was hilarious.
So,
yes,
I liked
it.
What else happened? Oh, we had Trixie came back and not so fine fettle. Apparently, had been slacking a little bit. They've got funds. They've got permission to get a new midwife, so that's going to be coming up. We saw that as well. But let's start off with the Marnie and the adoption, and we got to meet the family there, Marnie and her kids, and her sister, Dodd.
Cousin Dodd.
Beg your pardon. Thank you very much for correcting me.
Who does not believe in God. She makes it very clear.
Yeah, and feels fine about saying that.
Yeah.
It was so odd when that happened, especially in front of the parson.
The vicar.
It wasn't even that. What was the term he used? I forgot to write it down.
Don't put me on the spot
That. That one hurt Tamara. But all right, let's just talk about it. First of all, that we meet Marnie. She's obviously having a difficult time. Her husband's left. He's not come back. The debts have piled up. This is not a good situation for her.
Not
she's got two kids and one on the way.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I was thinking was, how many times have we seen kind of this thing going on there? And I'm going,
money trouble?
Well, yeah, money trouble. And of course, this is what Poplar's like. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, how is this one going to be different?
Yeah.
And I, you know, again, it was like, oh, I never even thought about that. Yeah. And we also got to see a different kind of birth. Forceps.
Which is
okay.
It was gruesome.
I can't even look. I can watch birth all day, but with the forceps, it was just too much.
The reason why I'm talking about it right now is because that was still the thing that got me. Because he was, and he even said, first blade going in.
Blade.
And I'm like, what? That's the term?
That's what the shape of it is.
Yeah, I know, but that's just an odd,
you
know.
They're just so big.
They're so big, and then he has to get leverage, so he puts his foot up on the...
Like, struggling hard to pull that baby out.
And it was like he was birthing a calf. I mean, this was like a farm thing.
Poor, tiny, delicate baby.
And then you saw the marks later. And,
I know. He was all bruised up.
And I don't want to spend a lot of time there because there's lots of other things to cover. But that was, again, I was going, okay, how is this one going to be different? But when they broke that out, and then the whole, and it's like, I've never seen a birth like that, so it was, and I obviously am aware that they have to do that, but it was just, this is not, I shouldn't be here for this. I really,
I want no part of that.
Yeah. So,
and
then there was, he was talking about the poor guy, it looked like he's been through a fight, he's got the bruising and everything, and I just,
black eyes.
The fact that, I mean, I was still going, how did they even develop that? Who thought, this is how we'll do this?
Terrible
but
testing.
I mean, yeah.
Ugh.
Right. Okay. All right, so now we're done with all that.
Curate.
Thank you.
Don't thank me.
Who?
Thank Caroline.
Thank you very much.
On top
thank
of
God.
It.
Google. Caroline, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, obviously, Marnie can't handle the situation she's in. She can't work because she's got to take care of the kids. And, of course, the husband's gone. And the power is going to get. Trixie comes, of course, and she's saying, pay off, you know, make sure you get paid the utility, so to speak.
Because as romantic as it sounds, a candlelight delivery is a little bit of a challenge.
And I don't remember the one. I'm sure they've had one, but they probably have seen it in an episode, right? But I don't recall it specifically, but I'm sure they do.
Yes.
So, and then we meet Dot, and then Dot comes in like a whirlwind, and I was just,
Right?
Mm-hmm. Bring in presents.
I thought that hanky was a great little touch, though. Their grandmother had this, you know, can't go out of the hanky. Didn't work for you?
It was so sweet.
It was sweet, okay.
It was really sweet.
Yeah, I liked that it came back, and she's wearing it in wristwatch.
Yeah.
That was a cool little moment, and then they carried it through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, I think that shows a real, it's an indicator of another time.
Yeah.
And, you know, a sort of, like, class and tradition that, you know, can easily be passed along. I have a lot of hankies from my grandmother, actually.
Do you really? Yeah, and that felt like one of those things, one of those stories. It felt like somebody, one of the writers or somebody had known something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have hankies.
I don't either.
Those of you in the UK may not know this, but a couple weeks ago when Joe Biden got the medal from Obama, he turned... pulled out a hanky because he started crying. The vice president, former vice president of the United States, and it was such a touching moment. And a lot of people talked about the fact that he had a hanky and what you know what that sort of harkened back to. Anyway,
So it's Trixie that lets Tom in on this because she realizes that Marnie's going to need some more help than just midwifery. Mm-hmm. So and
she's a woman of the church.
Right, exactly.
She's a member.
Exactly. So he takes it upon himself to go help, and you know finds out about the husband, and you know sees the eviction notice, and you know this is just getting worse and worse as we go.
Yeah.
It just keeps piling
worse
on.
And worse and worse.
And at some point, Marnie decides, and we don't, you know, we know that Dot has offered her help, but we don't know the specifics of it. And you're thinking,
but it looks
just
shady.
Financial.
Yeah.
It does.
What kind of job is she doing?
Yeah,
like, what do you want?
Yeah, she doesn't have anything to do with it, but very quickly she decides, okay. And then when you find out what it is, I'm going, okay, yeah, well, yeah, okay, I guess. I mean, it happens a lot. I mean,
happened in my own family. Yes, it did.
I didn't want to say it, but
you can say it.
Absolutely,
it's okay.
I'm surprised it didn't happen in mine.
I'm surprised it didn't happen in yours too.
Exactly. Just get rid of them. We got plenty.
Actually, it happened at least twice in my family that I know of. Yes.
Wow. So in your father's generation, though.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Crazy. Right?
Yeah, but it was you know relatively common, especially in my situation, in my family situation, the mother died,
right,
and so the baby went to another family and was raised as a you know as if they were just neighbors.
Yeah. They didn't
there was
learn
no
until way later in
until
life.
Until I was a teenager.
Yeah. So that's
my dad
much
learned
later.
He had another sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. And so that was going to be what was going to happen to those kids.
Yeah.
To Kevin and I don't remember.
Well, I mean, you know, the situation was so different back then, you know, when there were things like orphanages.
Sure.
Marnie's husband talked about, didn't want to have a child from an orphanage.
Stranger's child.
You know, I mean, you had to figure out ways to deal with things, and people were resourceful.
Yeah, I was looking at what are her choices?
Yeah.
To get rid of the baby, but you still got two, so it doesn't really solve what's really going on still.
Right, because you got,
But you couldn't, still. But
it didn't make it worse, I guess.
Because, now they're on my hip, at least with these two, I might be able to provide something. I don't know. I mean,
I would be the opposite. Yeah. I'd be trying to get rid of the older ones. They require more stuff. I mean, at least the baby's just on your boob for a while. Like you can feed them.
See, there you go.
I actually
hadn't thought of that part.
Well, I thought that was the agreement when they were first talking because she says, "I'll take the little one," and I thought that meant the 2 year old boy who she bought the present for. Yeah, and then I mean, very quickly I discovered that wasn't what they were talking about. But that was actually my thought first because it is a little. Yeah, it's a different dynamic having a newborn baby versus having a baby.
Yeah, but then of course Dot wanted the infant.
She wanted
you can see that so for sure. And I thought that when Tom's what he said to Marnie when he learned that she had made the decision, and he goes, "I'd be happy about it if you weren't crying." I thought the actress played it great because she was so conflicted the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was not easy to watch.
I'm betting that the week after she filmed this episode, that actress had a fantastic week.
I guess she got it all out.
She got it all out when she was working on the show. She cried and cried and cried.
She did.
Oh, but one of the most interesting parts about the whole storyline is when they're talking about it at dinner and they're getting all that different viewpoints from everybody. And then we've learned, I didn't know this, Tom
was adopted
at 2 months.
Yeah.
And I went, what? Did we know that? Did I miss something? Did we know that? I couldn't even tell from Barbara's expression when she heard it, because she was surprised. And I'm assuming she was just surprised that he decided to share that. But I wasn't
not necessarily. I mean, the people in these stories are awfully tight-lipped about their personal life.
But you would think that if he didn't, they would have had that conversation
at some point before dinner.
Yeah. Or at least to have it after dinner when I didn't even know you were done.
I had no idea, honey.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
That look on her face was, it was like, oh. And I went, oh, no, she's got to be just surprised that he said something. But that was very interesting because I had no idea. Not that you can't really tell, but I thought You know, and then I went back through the memory and the Rolodex. Did they ever talk about that? Did I miss that?
Didn't learn that much about Tom. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, we don't know that much about him.
Yeah.
And then the most telling thing for me was at the end there when he's talking to her and he's talking to Barbara and he's realized what it was, what must have been or could have been like for his own mom. I don't know if he's ever really considered it, what thought of it from her side or how. And to be
his
there,
birth mother,
his birth mother, mm-hmm. and to be in the room when all those decisions are being made, and then realizing that my mother was in the same situation.
Yeah,
I thought that was really touching the way they had that exchange between he and Barbara.
Yeah, my favorite scene in the storyline was the christening, actually.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Just because I thought it was incredibly beautiful. The Marnie, you know, was so sad and so conflicted and really intent on having her baby christened beforehand.
Andrew Thomas.
And had Tom do the ceremony. I just thought it was incredibly beautiful. And
it was.
You know, the moments that he
and I thought it was really interesting the way they edited it because they jumped back between that baby being christened and Gloria's baby and her loss of that baby. And I was just...
the tears back and forth.
Yeah, and I was also talking about the way they talked about the heart at the opening of the sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you get the full thing at the end with the voiceover again about how durable, resilient, and all that stuff. And I was just, jeez.
It was too much.
It was too much. It was crazy.
It was too much. But then Dot rolls in and she ruins the moment by saying, I don't believe in that stuff. Like, how dare you?
Do you need to say that?
Do you really need to see that right now? Yeah. Who are you? Why?
That's exactly what she does. Because that's how she rolled in the beginning, too. Bringing a present. You know?
Yeah.
She's just trying to do nice, right? But she's bringing a present. It's like, I don't know. We're not celebrating because I can't afford a present.
Yeah.
Get out of here because we're having a Christmas.
We're having a moment and you are nuts.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
But they take the child.
And
even the way they shot that, when Eugene comes in with the little bassinet, for lack of a better term, whatever you call that, and they put the baby in, and then you actually, they took the time to take the shot of the child being taken out of frame. And it's like,
The just to back up just a tiny bit, when Marnie was holding the baby after the christening, because she didn't want to look at him.
She didn't want to look at him.
She didn't want to touch him. She didn't want to feed him. She didn't want to have anything to do with him. And then just the you know, I mean, like the shapes, I guess, that they made, you know, with her having the baby there
just
and sitting
chest,
up and, you know, her legs tucked underneath her. I just thought that was, again, just really a beautiful.
Very well composed.
Okay, but this is what I was thinking. As it was clear that Marnie did not want to attach or get attached and all this stuff, and they kept saying, do you want your feed her? Do you want to hold her? And I'm going, leave her alone. It's hard enough. You know, did you guys think of that?
Yes.
I was wondering, were they just not aware of the process with the adoption? Like, because she made the decision, and I'm like, because it was almost like they were torturing her and being completely sympathetic to what she was going through.
It can't be the first time this has happened.
I know.
No,
they said it wasn't at the kitchen table. They're like, it happens all the time.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if maybe that's what I missed is, is it better for a mother giving a child away to have that moment, or is it more difficult? And they didn't really talk about that. But from a layperson over here, I'm going, no, it's hard enough. Don't make her. That's just going to make it giving that child away even harder. Or maybe they were thinking, if she
to make sure she
shared. Has that experience, then she that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And because you have to be.
And because then what happened a couple days later?
exactly. And I was thinking, because she says to Tom, when I went to get paper signed on my own, and when she signed her name, and I went, that was the moment. And it wasn't necessarily, maybe, I guess, in
retrospect,
conjunction with holding the child, but it was that moment that she realized, I can't do it.
I can't
do it.
I want my baby back.
I want her back.
Yeah.
And as she was saying that, you know, there was all this pain. There was just nothing but pain in that room because Marnie was having, you know, she was getting her baby back, but it was under really difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
And Dot was losing her baby and her chance at a baby. Mm-hmm. And they kept there was just all this pain in the room. And the one thing I wasn't hearing was, I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah.
And I was kind of, because that's maybe it's just me, but that's, you know, kind of a natural thing for me to say when I see someone in pain. It's like, I'm sorry. And then finally, Marnie did say,
as
you know, her
leaving,
last words were, I'm sorry, almost last words. And then, the hanky.
Yeah, the hanky.
You keep it, and then she turned and she smelled it. And yeah. I just wanted Dot to be okay too, because she said she was barren, and it's all. It was all just terrible. I literally wrote, "Life is so not fair."
Yeah, but I also, as you know, we see Dot sniffing the handkerchief, and I was thinking of what Gloria said about, "I hope to one day see each other." And I was thinking that there's a possibility there for Dot as well, because even Eugene had told Tom, you know, maybe I'm part of the reason for this, and
right.
you know, maybe I shouldn't have been so. Obstinate about having somebody else exchange your child.
So there's
that too.
There's some possibility there.
Yeah. But I also liked, I love the way they painted those two lives, Dot's life and Marnie's. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, she's your cousin. Can you help her out?
Exactly. That's all I'm thinking the whole time. Like, just give her a check.
Yeah.
You can come see the kids all the time.
Exactly. Eugene's writing a check to the landlord. Oh, I hate this guy anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm just going. And she goes into the home and she. You know, in Marty's home, you know, Tracy's asking, where's the loo or whatever's down the hall? You could probably smell it. Here we have a fancy doorbell that has two different kinds.
Two trays. Just flip a switch.
Yeah.
And I was just going, wow. Yeah, but.
It's like, you'll take my baby, but you won't.
Yeah, but.
Like, it's just a weird.
But I guess that was just to demonstrate how desperate Dot was to have a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was her focus rather than, here, I can help.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but yeah, I was like, oh.
But yeah, and when she did finally get the baby. Before she lost it again.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you've been a long time in coming, you know, so it's been a long road for her, and we just added some more miles to the road.
That one was a tough one.
It was very tough.
Was there anything else on that? Because I really, along with the way Barbara and Tom were. I'm just wondering, because it felt like that story isn't over. Yeah, go ahead, Tamara.
Finish.
You're gonna say something. I felt like that story isn't over for him.
For Tom.
For Tom, and about the adoption or whatever, because it certainly was resolved.
Yeah.
But it felt like it was open in some fashion, and I don't know if they're hinting at something or they're gonna touch on that later.
Maybe because he's talking about pictures of his child. I was like, well, you adopted it 2 months. Like, I don't know. Or did family just not take pictures because you were adopted?
Right.
That was kind of strange to me.
Yeah. It seems like maybe there might be a little more of a story there. Yeah. And since he's got this blossoming relationship with Barbara and kids probably being a conversation at least. There, mm-hmm. We may found out more. Just one other thing about it was during this storyline, Sister Monica Joan, when we were, I think it was at dinner, Tom was talking about, about Marnie wondering, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And Sister Monica Joan saying, you know, it seems when we ask for God's approval, it's usually when we think we won't get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just,
that echoed what Tom had said to Trixie earlier, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Proudest ones, always the way.
That reminds me of her breakdown when she's sobbing after they take the baby and close the door, and she's in there with Tom, and he goes, "You did the only thing that you could do." And she just
and the way she asked, "Had you ever been through this before?" And he said, "Only once."
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was. Anyway, that subject, I think, is rich, and I hope they do some more with him, because I thought he handled it well, and I just wanted to see more of what he's gone through because of it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So,
that would be good for me, anyway. All right, so the other one, the other pregnancies we had to deal with this week, Sheila's, of course, and she's in the hospital, and she's had complications, and how is it, Dr. Turner? Is everything as it was?
As it was.
And they're both in the medical profession. And I'm going, their husband and wife, I thought, it's like, wow, that's a very delicate way.
I'm saying.
Yeah. And I was like, nicely done, you know, because she's the woman that says the smallest room.
The smallest room.
So, yeah. And she actually gets wheeled to this. But we got to meet Sister Douglas.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, she was great.
Who was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love, she was talking about upsetting yourself is the worst thing that you can do, and I forbid it.
Sister Douglas, nice.
I'm going to just keep that one. I'm going to draw that and keep it on
and
my
again,
wall.
And again, it was like, it's such a great nurse, you know, and that's very in keeping with the nurses that we like in the Natas house, pardon me for mumbling that. And what's that?
Watch your enunciation,
that's right,
John.
My elocution. So we meet Gloria, and this is her third time here.
Hasn't made it past six months yet.
And I just went, oh, man. Did you have the same foreboding?
Yeah. It's like, here we go.
Yeah, it's like, oh. And they only brought her in here just to show what could happen to Sheila. I'm like, thank you very much.
Yes, because we needed to know.
Yes, exactly. We needed to have it fully demonstrated.
Yes.
And I thought the worst part about this whole storyline was the specialist and his bedside manner.
It was terrible. I understand it's a teaching institution, but really, dude.
Yeah, the way. It's like, you know, right in front of... I mean, I guess that's how... It is how it's done, but I was like, it just is... I don't know, fraught with all kinds of mistakes and...
Condescension, yes, mansplaining to the max. Well, because... I mean, he treated her as he would any patient, which you would expect. But then even when Sheila sort of advises him, I know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
He was like, don't you worry, you're pretty little head.
Oh, I know exactly the way he was with Delia.
Yeah.
So little, but what was the word he used?
Oh, it's Shakespeare. It's fierce.
Fierce. It's like,
She may be little, she be but fierce or something like that.
I thought it was great.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
You think that's the way it should be,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was actually a whole conversation on Twitter about him.
Oh, was it really?
Being condescending and mansplaining to her.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Gross.
And just, I mean, I get it. Again, we're going back to it. It's a teaching hospital and everything. But the way, the manner in which they're doing, I mean, you can't just do it, I don't know, outside. I mean, what they were explaining, what they were talking about was how bad your situation is.
And
you have to see that part in front of them.
And it's so matter of fact. Her legs are in the air.
Yeah,
goodness, can she close her legs before we talk about it? Like, it's not like you're showing them anything. Yeah. Like, oh, terrible.
Terrible, yeah. But it was great, though. I mean, it was great TV. It was horrible. Sure. But I was like, nice.
It was. And
the composition of the shot was incredible.
Yeah, it was a really good opportunity for us to remember where we are.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how different is it that different now in a teaching hospital? Because everybody's talking now, it's even, especially here in America, with, you know, they're just numbers. Let's get them in.
We got Sister Ursula everywhere here.
Exactly. 20 minutes is a luxury.
Oh, gosh.
So,
yes.
I'm just wondering. But that's how they depicted that one. But it was kind of alarming, I have to say.
It's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very uncomfortable.
So where are we with? So Delia, of course, is part of this because she works there, and so she's working with Sister Douglas. And I thought it was nice to see her doing that because we don't often get to see her in her element.
Mm-hmm. That's true. She always scurries away, and we don't really know where she is, what she's doing.
And I know I'm skipping ahead, but let's say Gloria has her
miscarriage.
Thank you. Because they were giving birth, and it was just, again, juxtaposing that with the christening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just heart-wrenching. Just heart-wrenching. And the look on Delia's face when Sister Douglas says, take care of this.
Yeah.
And I just, this is, and I, it looked like, okay, Delia works in the hospital. I don't know that she's ever had to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That seemed like that was a first for her.
Yeah.
So.
Sister Douglas saying, soon this will all be over. And Gloria saying, I don't want it to all be over. Yeah. I mean, that was where I drew little tear marks on there because that was where it really got me.
And going back to the director, it's like, why did it take so... Well, I'll consider it. The whole idea of putting in
the stitches,
harkens back to Downton Abbey, remember? Very similar procedure with Mary's pregnancy.
That's what I couldn't understand. I was like, you said she could use it, so hold up?
Yeah.
And it's
a stitch. What do you mean you'll consider it? Just get it done.
Yeah. No.
This is her third time being in here. Yeah. And
isn't that enough?
Yeah, and it just doesn't seem to, I'll get to it or whatever it is. And I just, really? And is it that dismissive?
Probably.
At that point, perhaps.
Man. A stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a stitch to close it up.
Yeah. I thought their relationship, meaning Gloria's and Sheila's, was a lot of fun. That seemed very real to me.
Very cute.
Sharing magazines. It's not gossip if you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Well, and also just incredibly supportive each other in both ways. The moment where they're looking at the magazines, and then isn't that the moment where they're talking about a heartbeat and what does it feel like to be kicked and that kind of thing.
The goldfish.
Yeah. So even Sheila was Sheila the expert, so to speak, was actually learning from a woman. Yeah.
And she's 1 month removed from it. So because but then it was 6, 1 to 5.
So tragic when she said she doesn't know, or when she was talking about if it actually feels like a kick because she'd never gotten past a certain point. Yeah. And it's like she's not gonna have a baby. No. It was so sad.
Yeah. But, and after the miscarriage, her conversation with Sheila there was just
fingers and toes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that actress, the actress who played that, was amazing, absolutely brilliant.
And she almost all of it was played under. It was just, you know, and it just made me reach out even more because it's like, oh my God, everything she's not saying and everything she's trying hard
to hold in.
Yeah, yes, my God, that was brutal. That was tough to watch. Yeah. I mean, it was a pleasure to watch because it was so amazing, but it was not easy.
The little monologue she had about in a year or two.
Yeah,
we'll see each other on the street with our prams, and we'll say hello and smile. You know, you kind of have to have hope in those sort of situations, and I just thought it was a really beautiful opportunity for her to again kind of play it under,
because
you could just cry, because we were all crying through that whole thing as an audience, and she could just cry through the whole thing, and it was simultaneously hopeful and just incredibly heartbreaking that she was saying that, because there are no guarantees.
No.
You just don't know what's going to happen next.
And the way she was packing
everything in that little tiny little bag,
and the box of Epsom salts.
And to me, that was kind of like it's parallel to the hanky. There's something about the things and being in their place and stuff. It was,
and the resilience of the heart, because she was heartbroken for the
third time,
and she was able to stand and put it together and still say something positive. And
to think that. I'm going to try this again.
I'm going to try again,
But don't go to that doctor. Go find a different doctor.
Oh, good Lord.
Try
get
a different
somebody
hospital.
Else. Yeah, exactly.
Anna C. is talking about how when Patsy had her first stillbirth baby, she ran to Delia for support, and Delia now has no one to run to. Thank you, Anna,
for pointing that out to us.
Thank
you, appreciate it. I'm glad you made that connection, because I forgot about it. That's great.
But yeah, the look on Delia's face at that moment was
stricken.
Just,
Got it in who to go to? No one.
And even how she, Gloria, wanted to see the baby, and then the
Sister Douglas said,
no, you don't. But then
it wouldn't be wise.
It wouldn't be wise. But then she's talking to Sheila later, and like she wants the details, and she wants to at least kind of have an idea. And I wonder. I mean, I know they decide for you, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a difficult situation because you have this scenario of, if I see the baby, is it going to just completely break me, or is it going to create closure?
Well, look at the parallel with Marnie.
Right.
Marnie doesn't want anything to do with it because I have to give it away. Here it is. It was taken away from me, and I want everything.
See,
And the thing is every person is different, and you can't. That's the thing. You sort of, you know, you have to sort of guide them to make the decision that's the best for them as you think it will be, or in Sister Douglas's case, I know the best, and so I'm going to.
Yeah.
But after your third time.
But I can't even. Yeah. Oof.
And then after that, Sheila gets a visit from the doctor.
That's right. The doctor. He's very busy. Very busy.
But right now? Yes. What? Now?
Yeah, exactly. There's also some great imagery in this one. When Sheila and Gloria were talking and having that last thing about, you know, a year later, and then the doctor comes up, and then Sister Douglas, because the term interchangeably, the curtain gets drawn on her, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's chapter's over.
Right.
She's got to go now.
She's going.
Mm-hmm. And she's on the other side of a piece of fabric when Sheila and Dr. Turner experience hearing their baby's heartbeat.
So she still is shielded from that.
Yeah, but she knows it's happening.
So,
but Sheila's sitting there like the ray of sunshine in her yellow nightgown with her husband coming to hear a heartbeat.
And it sounded like a horse running into the finish line. Mm. Yeah. So we did get that. So that was a nice little full circle on that as well.
Yeah.
Please bring us up after having destroyed us for 37 minutes.
We kind of ran to the end with Sheila's story, but you know, a couple of times in this, we're having you know, the scare of her having bleeding, and her elderly pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the term, all that discussion in front of
elderly,
her, too, about how, you know,
how that shouldn't...
Elderly prima gravata.
Yeah, exactly, and how difficult it would be, and... Just shut up. Move on. Go teach somewhere else. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, and an incompetent cervix. That was what it was called.
Yes, incompetent. Incompetent.
You know, if it was in a man, it wouldn't be called that.
It wouldn't
that.
Be called incompetent.
No, it wouldn't.
It would just be like, you know, I need another word.
Yeah.
You're delicate.
It would be the hospital's fault.
Yup.
But we did along with the Sheila story, we did get the Tim and Doc and Dad's story. We get those things and how Tim's up very upset with the brave faces.
Yes.
All right, knock it off. I'm old enough. You don't have to keep this up. Maybe for her, but not for me.
Speak up, Tim.
Yeah, way to go, Tim.
I know.
Well, and he's been so precocious earlier in the earlier seasons series. Mm-hmm. You know, saying, I can help you. I can do things. Yeah. I can read. Let's talk about stuff. And he was annoyed
just
that he was being left out.
Yeah,
he's
thing.
15 years old now.
Yeah,
he could drink ale and whatever.
And throw darts.
Pork scratchings. Pork cracklings.
Yum.
That's good. Delightful. Right, Caroline? Delicious.
So I'm glad they for that story. It's nice to see Tim back. You know, for me, that was where it started to cut saccharine on the cut. For me, it was. I don't know about you guys, but it was getting a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, it was definitely for me.
not so much for you? Are you?
I've just forgotten his name. I had it a second ago, but the actor who plays Dr. Turner, mm-hmm. whose name will come to me any second now, as soon as I stop talking about him. He has such an expressive face. We've talked about that on the show before. And I feel like if he pulled back a little bit, I would be more brought in. You know?
Kind of like Gloria, I guess, is what you're saying. How Gloria did her performance.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Because especially the father-son thing was, it just felt just a hair over the top, and I don't mean to be critical. I know, I don't mean to be critical. I'm just saying, for me, I would feel more brought in, because it just, it felt a little actory. I'm sorry.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Stephen
McCann. That's his name. Yeah. Stephen McCann.
Heavy brow. He has a heavy brow.
He has a heavy brow, and he moves them a lot when he's being expressive. Right.
But
he does, and it probably comes all from his genuine affection the thing is when we talked about Dr. Turner's casebook, he's just as expressive when he's just sort of speaking to
absolutely.
A camera and talking prose, you know,
it's
conversationally. It's just
everywhere else they pull back. They always pull back.
Yeah.
They cut away. They do all kinds of things so it doesn't go down that road.
I know,
and
Caroline.
That's
I got it before you came.
That's his natural way of being. It's just you can see it here because everywhere else they pull back and they cut away. But here, that's just who he is. That's just his acting style.
Yeah.
And, you know, that character, that's the way it is.
It just pulls me out a little bit. That's all
I get you.
I
get you. I know.
I accept a little cheese.
Yeah.
I know. It's. Yeah. I mean.
Because I think he and Sheila, like, it kind of gets real cheesy for me a lot. But I like it. It works for me.
You know, I enjoy some cheese, too.
Yeah.
Even though I'm dairy-free right now.
Me, too.
Cashew cheese.
Until yesterday.
Well, that was important.
No, it was.
Good information for you.
Come on, these are our friends we're talking to, John.
But speaking of friends, Trixie's back.
Trixie.
So we got to see her. She comes right back in. She wants to get right back in the class, and she's with the theater. She's with the ladies. She's doing the... And she really is not handling that well.
Not at
all. And I'm
all.
Going, well, what is
I literally
going on
wrote down, if y'all make Trixie have cancer in the lungs, I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, that weren't they hinting at that? Because she was afterwards when she's talking to Barbara and Phyllis, and Phyllis is bringing in whatever
the cayenne pepper essentially
thank you,
is what
because
it is.
She's got
capsaicin,
whatever. She's I don't have fibro, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah,
and she goes, I but this is wrong, and I'm gonna make it right. Light
up a cigarette, exactly.
Like, probably a menthol, you know.
Oh no,
is there really a little extra there?
But didn't we already visit this with Dr. Turner
when we did.
I was also thinking, okay, did she get some sort of weird thing being in Africa and
sleeping
traveling?
Sickness or do they have malaria in South Africa?
Sure, why not? Who knows?
The moment where she notes Barbara's lovely supple back and confident bust projection.
Confident bust projection.
I've written that down because I think that's a very perfect compliment. I'm going to be using it with
your back is so soft.
you have a very confident bust projection.
I think
I aspire to a confident bust projection.
Who doesn't?
I was working on my flamingo with
my
That cracked me up.
Yeah, it was great. And I just thought she asked Barbara to go out there, and then, because, you know, Barbara, we've already, you know, with the wheel and the pottery, she's not the most graceful.
What?
Not at all.
But even in this,
I can't believe you're saying that.
A supple back. And the appropriate undergarments.
Oh, yes.
The foundation, shall we say.
I am all about the appropriate undergarments, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with her on that.
So, but whatever it is that Trixie's going to do, she's going to make it right. So, however that, I guess we'll see that as it happens. We also had Trixie having her moment with
Sister Julianne,
About Mary Cynthia, and the fact that we still don't know. And Julianne is kind of resigned, I guess. She thinks it's all being handled.
Yeah, she doesn't think
it's a big deal. Yeah, she doesn't know.
She's playing the party line, you know, and I can't tell. Mm. She's not one who usually does.
Yeah, I can't tell. But I wouldn't get with Mary Cynthia that she was... I think she honestly feels like something she's being taken care of. Especially because what she said is, look, when she's ready, we'll be here for her. We need to be ready when she's ready, especially because this may be a mental situation or a mental health issue.
Well, and I, you know, the thing that sort of made, if I were Trixie, did make me feel like maybe I should back down a little bit was if you had seen her, you would believe me.
Yeah.
And Trixie was saying, well, you know, it's not that I don't believe you, it's just that I don't believe you.
I want to see her for myself.
Yeah. But, you know, the idea that she's been sent to another place for more safety, for her own safety.
Yeah.
I think she just means she's gotten worse.
It does seem like that.
We made her worse.
Yeah. So, and we'll get into what we think about that.
We do. I have predictions to talk about.
Mm. All right. But the other part of that is that they're having the big open area park or whatever it is.
Green space park, whatever it's called.
And then Fred gets it in his head that, hey, I know how to deal with this.
Let's have a race.
And then, let's have a race. And he's getting all the wheelbarrows and prams, which obviously brings the Marnie story back in because of the pram they give it. And the Ben-Hur part of it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Fabulous.
Yeah. What's not to like about that? Phyllis is going to train the cubs.
Yeah, but they are leaderless.
Yes.
So
yes.
They need somebody. And
she had to find the proper whistle for them.
But before she says, little boys exasperate me.
They're exasperating and violent.
I go, well, they do need a strong leader. And Phyllis is, she's just the woman to do it.
She's the one to
do it.
But it was great to see her sampling the whistles.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Not the right tone.
Having been a lifeguard and used many whistles in my life, I can tell you that they do emit different tones and they tell a different story.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Just the right tweet.
Yeah, and she needed the right one.
Mm-hmm. So, and of course, and then she
corral looked, those violent children.
And we see them later. And she corralled them just like pups.
Yes.
And apparently it worked because, we saw them later with the maypole. They were standing at attention. Mm-hmm.
You bet. I thought that was just adorable. The whole scene was just
adorable. I thought it was
adorable.
Great, too, but I was going, why are they using Fred for this? Isn't he? Because he's already died before.
Well, he's busy corralling prams.
Okay. Yeah.
Corralling prams. Yes,
can't
of course.
Do everything.
Yeah. But, I'm glad Phyllis is doing it because she's
kicking
the pants. Exactly. Yes. It's much more entertaining to have Phyllis do that. And so we also got to see how Phyllis and Julianne were talking. Was she talking to Phyllis about this? About
getting a new midwife?
Yeah, that was that new midwife. So they've got permission, they've got funding. And of course, we were all talking about this was it the second episode when we met Valerie?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so we're all going, it's obvious, come on, get to it.
For goodness sake.
But the montage was kind of fun.
Some options.
We had another montage. We got all the different people.
Chrissy girl, scary smoky girl. Uh-huh. And I love that Sister Monica Joan was the one answering the door.
Yeah, and her expressions. Yeah.
And the hat made of hydrangeas, I think, was really something to be speaking about. You know, she had like sort of blue flowers all over her entire head.
Applicants?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I only remember the one with the
My grandmother had a hat very similar to that. Yeah.
And each one I was going, that's not going to work. So, but then when they're going through the applicants and they're talking about the men, I was like, oh, wow, 62, 1960. Sure, why not? A man.
No.
Okay, got it. Good.
No.
I'm moving on.
Most of our job is midwifery. You'll have to look at.
What about someone from somewhere called Vermilion, South Dakota?
No Americans.
No Americans. I take great offense to that.
I still want to know more. I want to know more. Why Phyllis has that position, that stance. I want to know.
Oh, because Americans are vile.
Well, yeah,
Let's just face it.
No, but I want to actually hear it come out. Because Phyllis is great. They write great dialogue for Phyllis. I want to hear it.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
I think it would be a blast. Little bit of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that would be fun. And it would be great, too, if they actually had an American as an applicant.
Oh, and she got to talk to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Be fantastic.
Their reactions to her accents, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Might be on the cutting dramatic. Room floor somewhere.
Yeah, that would have been fun. I would have loved to have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we do finally go, as Phyllis is talking to her, she's talking how we need somebody who's not going to...
Who's like the army.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Who's not going to freak out at the East End privy.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and we're all going, yes, here it comes. And, you know, when we see Sister Julianne walk up to the bar and the men are on the stoop and everything like that, they're like, oh, wait, what are you doing? What's going on? You know, yeah, why are you here?
Ixnay, we got an unnay coming in.
And that was a fun little interchange. So,
yes.
And I, you know, it reminded me. I said, yes, I liked her when they brought her in. You know, for the
Valerie.
Yeah, yes. Valerie. I liked her when they brought her in. I'm going, yes, this is, she's perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect, right?
We need her. Mm-hmm. Why did we not think of her before?
Yeah, and she doesn't have time. I'm not thinking about it. I'm in.
Yes.
Which is exactly the way she charged in. During
the explosion.
So enamored of her then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So we're happy about this, right?
Yeah.
Finally getting to
Yay.
It.
Yay.
Someone's pointing out that she's the first East End midwife coming from the community.
Oh, right. Nice.
That's true.
Yeah. Nice. That's true.
Thank
that
you. Thank you, Twitter friend.
Wonder what will that bring with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got to have a little something.
All right. What else? We good, right? That's it?
Yeah, that's all I have.
All right. Well, we better move on to predictions. We have some shout-outs and predictions.
Yeah.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
I also have some news. We can do the predictions first.
Do predictions first, yeah.
Predictions from the web that Tim,
yes,
is gay.
Dr. Turner's son,
yes,
is gay. Okay.
You know, it kind of felt like the whole, you know, men's night that they were having, that Tim might be coming out to his dad, was one of the predictions that I got. What do you guys think about that?
I didn't get the feeling that he was going to come out. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
And at 15, I was like, I don't know that I would think that he would in 1962, maybe he would, but it seems like that it may be a little early for him to do that. And I don't know that they would play that card only because we still have the deal yet.
I know, Patsy and Dee haven't even come out.
So, yeah, I don't, you know, but, you know, sure. When,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Interesting.
On the subject of Sheila dying,
Courtney.
Patrick is already a widower.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. So,
but that woman lost three babies, but 6 months. He could possibly. But yeah, they probably won't play that card for that reason.
Yeah. Okay, and I have from SVU Nerd 99. Thank you. I really hope Sheila's okay. That nothing will happen to the baby because the Turners need to be happy. LOL. And Sheila will not die. Sheila forever.
Wow. All caps.
All caps.
Okay.
Lots of all caps.
Right.
Although I still like it. I thought that was really interesting.
You know.
Like I said, it would be. You know.
It would be a very dramatic.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's one that Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Will be the third angle of a love triangle with Patsy.
And Delia.
Patsy and Delia.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So Patsy's away.
Gone.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. She is coming back.
Right.
And yeah, that Delia could find.
I like that one.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Yes. We
nice.
Like that.
Okay. Is that from SVU? Who's that from?
No, it's from Anna, too.
Oh, all right. Anna nicely.
The other Anna.
Nice. Nice,
and then another one from Anna, too, would be that Sister Julianne and Trixie are actually going to have a fight over Mary Cynthia because they find out that she is getting shock therapy.
Whoa. Okay. Right? All right. That's
that would make it possible.
Yeah, if the shock therapy, but wow, would they? I mean, I guess you could if she's mentally.
That was the protocol then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because if she can't. Yeah,
well, remember once we were the cookies nest, don't we?
Oh my
God,
can
she's
imagine?
Like the most delicate little.
Yeah.
Oh
my
no.
God, turn her.
Like
into...
we haven't been tortured enough with her already.
Wow.
Just reliving the.
They're gonna make her a potato.
No, they won't. They can't. Can they?
I don't know.
Let's go into some news.
But wait, but that's a very interesting. That's a possible, plausible. And horrifyingly tragic if that would happen.
That is going to break. Yeah. That is going to break our hearts.
Yeah, because especially her.
Really great prediction, Anna.
Yeah, nicely
It's going to kill us. That's the thing. I know. So let's move on to some news, shall we?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay. Here we are. Call the midwife. A woman delivered her own granddaughter in the UK after getting tips from Call the Midwife. It's true.
Score.
Carol Richmond, 59, was at home when her daughter Claire cried for help from the loo as her waters broke. It was too late to get to the hospital, and the grandmother of three, Ms. Richmond, found the only spare spot in the bathroom, the tub, and climbed in to get a good view. Squeamish Ms. Richmond called on her favorite program, Call the Midwife, and said that that kept her daughter calm while she was gathering and positioning towels for the birth. Wow. She maneuvered so that she could catch the baby, which was born after three contractions.
Oh, whoa. My God.
Just as she had seen it on TV.
Well, she's
oh,
a lucky
my God.
Girl.
Right?
Yeah.
Pop that on
three.
That's nice.
The medics arrived an hour later and were so impressed with Carol's work that the baby did not even have to go to the hospital.
Well, all right. Congratulations.
She should be the next midwife.
Midwife, yes. Right? She says, I've had four children myself, but it's not the same being on the other end. Midwife. I've been watching Call the Midwife on television, so I think I picked up a few tips because they're always doing that kind of thing. It was a great relief that everything was all right. So
that's amazing.
Useful as well as entertaining. Call the Midwife.
Well,
educational.
Then I think I have a new calling because I've seen so many of these births. I could probably do it.
Sure. You could probably do a C-section, John.
You know,
I could do the forcep thing now.
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Yeah.
I can't even look at a forcep.
Oh, good Lord.
I can't.
Wow. That's impressive.
Valerie Dyer, the new midwife, is called by British actress Jennifer Kirby, and she is mostly known from the stage.
Uh-huh.
So this isn't exactly news, but I'm just letting people know. She performed with the Royal Shakespeare Company in a couple of plays. She also played Elizabeth Bennet in Pride and Prejudice at Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. So that's what we know about her. Okay, Heidi Thomas, talking about Sister Mary Cynthia. She said... her journey does continue later in the series. No spoiler, but you do find out how she's doing and how she's getting on. Heidi Thomas talked about how I absolutely loved writing material for her because she's also a character that's been there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. She had the trauma in Series 5 when she was attacked, and she seemed to get over it quite quickly, but I, Heidi Thomas, already knew that she hadn't fully dealt with that experience, and therefore it was actually not just dramatically interesting, but also really emotionally responsible to show that she went through a few months, what she went through a few months later when she had to deal with it. Deal with the things she hadn't dealt with. Yeah. So she says, we do continue the journey. Bryony gives the most sensational performance. When they say that, that means it's going to about kill us, right?
I don't want to see her she's so tiny and cute and precious and sweet, and I just can't.
Yeah. I know. It's terrible. Okay, a couple of shout-outs. Anna M., happy birthday.
Hey, look at that. Happy birthday.
Kathy Reisler, thank you for the email. Helena Huang was talking about how she was looking for an Asian character, which we got last week. She'd been dreaming of having an Asian character and didn't realize that we were actually going to get one.
Yes.
Hey to Ian Armstrong, Anna, Aurelia, joke. I can't even say this. I mean, not that it's dirty. It's just a whole bunch of letters and numbers. And then a couple in letters that I don't know the alphabet for. So thank you very much for your comments. and your predictions. Thank you for engaging. Yeah. I love reading all of your comments.
That's good. Super Anna, fun. Nice.
I know, right?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Allie.
Now I have dread.
Yeah, well, Oof. Yeah, those two things are going to keep us up. All right. Before we go, let them know where they can find you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, go, Courtney. I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter, and I do a lot of stuff on Twitter for this show, you guys, so engage with me. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
And thanks again for tuning in. The only time place you'll find me is right here next time we do another Call the Midwife.
Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.